This is Case Closed, crime stories from the golden age of radio. Welcome back to Case Closed. I have another 60 minutes of old-time radio crime for you today. We'll start off with Barry Craig, confidential investigator, an angel of death, his episode from January 5th, 1955. We'll finish up with The Crime Club and No Time for Murder, episode from that series from September 25th, 1947.
William Gargan stars as Barry Craig, confidential investigator.
It's okay to cut a competitor down a few notches, but never cut him 6 feet lower than the soles of his feet. That's no longer fair competition, folks. That's murder.
The National Broadcasting Company presents William Gargan in another transcribed drama of mystery and adventure with America's number one detective, Barry Craig, confidential investigator.
Barry Craig speaking. One way of landing a client is to fish him out of the river, which is exactly how I commenced my confidential file in a character named Richie Stimson. I jumped with my shoes on. I found Stimson's hat before I found Stimson. Nobody rescues a hat, so I didn't. When Stimson finally bobbed into reach, he promptly stuck one thumb in my eye and the remaining one in my jugular vein. Another thing nobody wants to do is drown in a stranger's embrace. When his jaw came up flush with the surface, I landed on it. He lay quietly on his back now, spouting water from the mouth like Moby Dick. And I began floating him to shore. On shore, the closest shelter we could find was a junk dealer's basement store. I stuck Moby Dick right up against the stove so he could dry out. Stand there till the icicles melt, Buster. Then I got my shoes off. Oh, squish. I'd been really walking in canal boats. Rescue a guy from drowning, you expect his first speech to be thank you, but not this joker.
My car. Hey, what about my car?
Oh, I'm keeping it as a souvenir of the occasion.
Hey, it's a brand new job.
The fish will be pleased to know. Lean close a minute, Buster.
Lean?
That's close enough. I want to smell your breath.
I wasn't drunk going through that guardrail. Get that idea out of your head.
Just lousy driving, huh?
Yeah, it's coming back to me now.
What is?
That same feeling I've been getting lately. Dopey, all of a sudden. And the blues, like I'm depressed. Up here, something starts fogging up.
In your head?
Yeah. Makes me want to shut my eyes, like I've been on a weekend toot, and now I got to sleep.
And do you shut your eyes?
I don't know.
Buster.
What?
Confidentially, who are you?
Richie Stimson.
A chauffeur.
Used to be.
And now?
A husband.
That's your occupation?
Yeah, that is.
Oh.
Who are you?
Barry Craig. I'm a detective.
Well, you know.
And where can I bill you?
Bill me for what?
A suit of clothes, look.
Oh, yes, come on. Hey, you sure it wasn't torn before?
Now, that's what I call gratitude.
472 and 1/2 Park Avenue. Send me the numbers and I'll write out a check.
Where? Park Avenue?
Man, what's the surprise?
Well, your kisser has got 10th Avenue on it.
So I moved east 7 blocks.
So you married east 7 blocks. I mail Stimson my bill for a suit of clothes and a new pair of shoes. And surprise of surprises, I got a prompt reply in the return mail. Addressee's name on it, Stimson, with the Park Avenue address. Well, there was a check in it, but not exactly for $100 I had politely requested. The check had an extra zero on it. $1,000. Check signed, Natalie Stimson. I read the short note that came with it. Dear Mr. Craig, a small token of my gratitude for the wonderful thing you did for my husband. Signed, Mrs. Natalie Stimson. And there was a postscript. I would very much like to meet you at your convenience. $1,000 was the most elegant persuasion I knew. Information? I'd like the phone number of a golden angel. Her name? Oh. Mrs. Natalie Stimson, 472 and a half, Park Avenue. We met at a rendezvous at the lady's insistence, not mine. An out-of-the-way private for members only joint called the Club Socrates, where people dined lying down on couches like the old Roman nobility. The maitre d'hotel wore a toga, and the slant-eyed waitresses were all made up to resemble Cleopatra. Natalie tried to clear up my confusion.
It's a revival of old Roman dining habits, Barry. It's the newest fad.
Imagine.
It restores eating to what it should be.
And what's that?
Well, life's most gratifying experience. A sheerly exotic...
Enough said.
So, kick your shoes off, lie back on the couch, and luxuriate. Really enjoy it, Barry.
So tell me.
Can you?
Why we're wallowing here.
Oh, I want to talk to you about Richie.
Oh, your ex-chauffeur and present husband. It's his unaccountable depressions. You worry over them.
Richie's told you about them?
You sound surprised.
Well, I am, for Richie to confide so quickly.
Well, I'm a guy people right away confide in. He says he gets, dopey all of a sudden. Gets the blues. Becomes, depressed. And then up here in the beans, something starts fogging up, unquote.
His reflexes go awry. He loses sense and coordination. I've seen it happen time and again.
Well, give me an example.
What? Well, in entering my dad's brokerage office some weeks ago, Richie burst through the door but continued going across the room. He didn't stop at Dad's desk.
And where did he continue on to?
Right through the window.
How far did he fall?
2 stories. The miracle was he landed on a terrace on the 26th story.
Otherwise, 28 floors to the sidewalk.
Otherwise, a horrible death. What do you make of it?
Well, I could go medical and call it an unconscious suicide wish, but I won't say it.
Then what do you say?
I say hand Richie over to a doctor.
But he's been to doctors.
Doctors in the plural?
6 doctors this year.
Well, what did the last chap say?
That Richie's a normal neurotic.
Yet he's accident prone.
Accident prone. Those are exactly the words the other fellow, the lay analyst, used.
So keep him under glass. Don't let him roam around.
Now, is that practical advice?
Maybe not. Now, besides sympathy, what do you want of me?
I want you to be Richie's man friend.
Come again?
You see, I've got my own theory about Richie.
That being?
That he's a cat in a strange alley. He needs someone around him to feel at home with, someone who talks his language.
Same being a slob like me, huh?
I'll pay $1,000 a week.
For me to chum around with Richie?
Room with him, play gin rummy with him, go off to burlesque shows, all the things Richie used to enjoy doing.
And for how long am I, Damon, to his Pythias?
1 month. 1 month for $4,000.
Sold.
And you'll do it?
For $4,000, I'd swim underwater to Siam. And that's how I came to move over to Park Avenue. But not without protests from my newfound buddy.
Get your hat and scram out of here.
If I do that, I'm unemployed.
Hey, who's paying you? My father-in-law?
I haven't met him yet.
Natalie?
Natalie.
So, Natalie hires you to watch over me, huh?
Oh, you got that wife in a million.
Hey, what's Natalie paying you?
Oh, a mere $1,000 a week.
$500.
What happened to my other $5?
I just cut in for it.
You did?
Yeah. I could use more dough. They're keeping me on short rations.
And if I get stubborn about my whole $1,000?
We're not best friends no more. You run out of here like a thief. You're unemployed. Bum. Okay?
Okay, partner.
I'll give you a horse. You run your five back to a grand.
Decent of you.
Hey, what do we do today?
Anybody for the zoo?
Zoo, my eye. I know what.
So do I.
Oh, hey, you're not a mind reader.
Your mind reads easy. The Crescent Burlesque House over in Hoboken.
What do you know? You are a mind reader at that.
That was the chauffeur turned blue blood in one of his optimistic moods. I also got him in his pessimistic moods, and right on top of breakfast.
Hey, the fox coming up. It's beating at my eyeballs.
You're depressed today.
I feel lousy. Boy, how lousy I feel.
Hating the world and yourself?
Yeah, that's one way of putting it. Hey, will you look? I can't even tie my shoelaces.
Hands shaking?
Yeah, like that head mama over at the Crescent last night.
Reflexes all shot, huh?
Who knows about reflexes?
Now, look, hold one arm out straight in front of you.
Huh? Okay. Now what?
Close your eyes.
So they're closed.
Now bring your finger back and touch the tip of your nose.
Touch the tip? Oh!
Trouble?
I jabbed my finger in my eye.
Couldn't find your own nose, huh?
What does that mean?
Your coordination's off.
Way off?
Way, way off.
Hey, what does it to me, huh?
Well, ask a doctor.
Well, I've been to doctors. I've been tapped with little hammers, x-rayed. I've been laying on couches and talking myself hoarse.
Talking about what?
Oh, anything that came in my head. Psychiatry, this was. About kid days, my old lady. The time Lefty Louie came at me with a butcher knife. Over broad, this was. And, about Miss Curran.
Miss Curran?
Yeah, my teacher, 4B. I used to dream about her a lot. I figured to marry her when I grew up.
So why didn't you?
Well, at the time I was in 4B, she was 72. No, what I got in for doctors, I tried them. Hey, what we do today, huh?
We'll stay indoors and play gin. Leave us not tempt your reflexes. Richie had been to doctors, but I hadn't. So I tried one, an old friend. He'd roomed with my aunt once while serving his internship. Dr. Dinglespieler. A nice little guy who kept his beard buttoned in his vest.
You say he has been to doctors?
Six. He's run the gamut. From cardiography to psychoanalysis.
Well, it is very strange that there was no recommended therapy. Disentology seems to be clear.
Meaning?
The disorientation. The damage to the nervous system.
Talk to me in English, not Greek.
Either the man has a detectable nervous disorder or he is in a psychosis.
As simple as that. I mean, medically speaking. A good physician should see what bothers Richie Stimson by eye. A head doctor could do it by ear.
Yeah, that's right.
Absolutely apple pie for a doctor to diagnose.
Now look, apple pie is for the cook and the kitchen.
Okay, then say easy to diagnose.
There is perhaps one simple conclusion to come to. Speaking for the doctors, I mean.
And that is?
That your friend had none of these symptoms you have described at precisely those times when the doctors examined him.
Had none of the symptoms at the time of examination.
Yeah.
I'll need time to figure that one out, Doc. Tell me, which branch of medicine is more apt to be mistaken?
The nerve specialist can be sure.
Meaning the head doctor has a bigger margin of error.
Well, psychic sickness is a more experimental medicine. It is, shall we say, in a stage of development.
And Richie Stimson is in a stage of disintegration. Well, thanks for your time, Doc. If I said I wasn't twice as confused as when I came in, I'd be lying. Well, so long. I trotted myself over to 10th Avenue for a peek into Richie Stimson's background. A look into his case history, as the science books put it. I figured out a chat with his folks, if he had any, or his neighborhood priest. But I found a brother. The lettering on the window of the fish store read, Waldo Stimson, Fresh Fish. I found Waldo in a bloody apron, chopping away at a sea monster that looked like a barracuda. Now, stop chopping and let's talk about your brother, Richie.
Richie, I got one word that ends a conversation.
And the word?
Snob.
He's been high-hatting you?
Parks that snazzy car of his in front of my fish store and sits behind the wheel smoking a cigar. The louse just sits out there, rubbing it in.
Rubbing what in?
The bucks. How he's got 'em, and I ain't.
Oh. Answer a question or two for me, huh?
Shoot.
Was Richie physically fit?
Strong as a bull. You should have seen how he broke Dobie Delahanty's jaw. Bang, one sock.
Well, was he subject to headaches and accidents?
I don't get you.
Did he ever fall over his own feet, or fall down the stairs, walk into a plate glass window?
Richie, not on your life, bub. Came to moving around, he was 200%. Champ basketball player and ice hockey. Why, the pros were hustling him to sign a contract.
Then generally well-coordinated. Sharp eyesight and the rest of it?
Sharp eyesight? You saw the chick he grabbed off himself.
Yeah, upper-class Natalie. Well, tell me, how do you figure he swung that?
Well, come to making out, Richie was a conniver. There wasn't a day he didn't have a scheme going for himself.
Shady or strictly legit?
Both ways, depending. Any way Richie could better himself, why, that was it. Hey, look, you're taking up my time. I got fish to sell.
You got a 3-pound Siberian herring?
Siberian herring? What do you know? I'm fresh out of them.
That led me to the father-in-law, C. Lindsay Bernard, broker. I wanted to know how come the uppercase Bernard had sanctioned his daughter's marriage to the family chauffeur. I found Bernard, senior, behind a mahogany desk the size of a tennis court. The cigar in his mouth almost reached out into the hall to the elevator.
Yes, your question, Craig, has definite point, but not with me.
Well, why not?
There's no snobbery in the veins of C. Lindsay Bernard. Not a drop of it, sir. We're a tribe of great commoners. Why, my father cleaned sewers, and his father sold pots and pans along the Great American Highway.
Then you approved of Richie Stimson?
Oh, heartily, sir. You might say I cheered him up that middle aisle to the marriage altar. I favored Richie over Byron Follansbee. Yes, sir, a red-blooded young man like Richie. Why, I abetted his cause with Natalie. I am against the rich inbreeding with the rich. Very bad for progeny. Transmits white blood cells. Offsprings are anemic.
Cut. My ears are bent. While we're on this high-level talk, a quotation comes to my head. Something we used to recite in school, Mr. Bernard, from Shakespeare.
Oh, always a pleasure to hear Shakespeare quoted. The quotations, huh?
Methinks you plead too hard.
Is that a sneer at my veracity?
It could be.
Why, you foul-mouthed, low-born peasant.
And a minute ago, you were the guy advertising himself as the great commoner. From Bernard Sr.'s office, I drove back to Park Avenue to resume with Richie Stimson. We had big plans for the evening. A repeat of the night before the night before. The Crescent Burlesque over in Hoboken. At 472 and a half Park Avenue, I found Richie already downstairs on the street. On the sidewalk, a few feet away from the big front door canopy. Top hat on him and tails, as if he couldn't wait to get going to Hoboken. Only thing, he was the last guy I'd want to be seen out with, not the condition he was in. Flat on his back with a seepage of blood dyeing his clothes red. A crowd of morbid gapers packed around him and an ambulance on its way to the scene. No, sir, no date. I couldn't see myself watching a girly show with a corpse. One byproduct of death you can be absolutely sure of is a widow's tears.
Richie. Oh,
and Natalie sure wept. Tears cascading down her until the little chiffon item she was wearing clung to her like a bathing suit after a dip in the ocean. The show of grief in a bereaved father-in-law comes harder. Either it's unmanly to cry or C. Lindsay Bernard was a Phi Beta Kappa in the art of self-control.
The only thing that occurred to him to do was abuse me.
Richie died because of your negligence, Craig. Your default of duty. You weren't hired to gad about making ridiculous inquiries. You had explicit duties. You were paid to stay with Richie. Never let him out of your sight.
The guy is slated to walk off an outside terrace 18 stories up. Comes a time when he does it. There's only one chap really watching him 24 hours a day.
One chap?
The Angel of Death. A brother of the deceased can usually muster a tear or two.
Poor kid.
Death softened you toward your brother Richie, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I ain't got no hard feelings now. Wish you set it like this here. Look at them drapes and that chandelier. Imagine walking out on it.
Walking off a terrace into space 18 stories over the sidewalk.
Yeah. What a way to go.
Your beautifully coordinated brother. The kid with sharp eyesight and trained reflexes.
Oh, about that. I didn't exactly feature the right dope on Richie that time we talked. I sort of left something out.
You did?
Yeah, you know, something that came back to mind. You see, Richie was a big one for accidents. All the time falling down cellars or fire escapes. And your pains here in the head, always with a wet towel and the ice pack on his bean. You get me, huh?
Better than you think, Waldo. Tell me something.
What?
Who's paying you to lie to me and how much are you getting?
Well, suppose I am in the way of a few bucks. No harm to nobody. Why should I pass it up?
Because your brother was set up to accidentally kill himself. Or be murdered.
Murdered? Now, how could that be?
Say a push off that terrace.
But you don't know that.
No, I don't. But pushed or fell, either way, it's murder.
But he'd been dopey all the time, tripping over his own feet. You yourself told me that.
Yeah, dopey and so forth. And I've got an explanation for that.
What?
Drugs. Somebody's been feeding Richie drugs in his drink and in his food. Drugs that work havoc on his reflexes for a time, then dissipate into the bloodstream, so that he seems okay during medical examinations.
Yeah, but who be feeding him drugs?
Who offered you a bribe to suddenly remember that Richie was accident-prone?
Two of them did. Natalie and her old man.
I only got a piece of the truth from Natalie.
I didn't marry Richie. He married me.
What was the blackmail threat that got you to say yes?
Because my father's chauffeur, he...
Got something on your father? Some business irregularity your father could be liable to prosecution for, is that it? Okay. Clam up pending advice of counsel. I'm content to let the whole story wait on the autopsy.
The autopsy?
The one I'm ordering to be done immediately. To determine the nature of the drug that got Richie drowsy and dopey enough to walk off that terrace into cold space. This one hasn't had time yet to really dissipate into the bloodstream, beautiful.
I will never hire you.
People are all the time hiring me as a cover for their cute operations. I can be hired, baby, but not bought. Hired, but not bought. I'm sure you understand the difference. You've been to college.
You have been listening to William Gargan in another exciting transcribed mystery drama from the adventures of Barry Craig, confidential investigator. Tonight's story, Angel of Death, was written by John Robert. Next week, it's the strange story of the man who died by himself, about which Barry Craig has this to say. We call next week's story The Man Who Died by Himself. Among other things, and corpses, it deals with a fortune teller, a fortune, and a beautiful girl. And of course, the man who died by himself, except he wasn't entirely alone. He had a killer for company. The National Broadcasting Company has just brought you an NBC Radio Network production with William Gargan starring as Barry Craig, confidential investigator. Directed by Arthur Jacobson. Cast included Paul Dubois, Betty Lou Gerson, Jack Carroll and Jack Moyles. This is John Lang speaking. Join Groucho Marx for You Bet Your Life tonight on the NBC Radio Network.
I haven't kept you waiting. Yes, this is the Crime Club. I'm the librarian. No Time for Murder. Yes, we have that story for you. Come right over. Take the easy chair by the window. Comfortable? The manuscript is on this shelf. Here it is. No Time for Murder. The very intriguing story of a clock that chimed in with death. Let's look at it under the reading lamp. It was early evening, and Peter Woods, a young lawyer, had time to kill before his appointment with Hilda Ryan, his fiancée. So he took a walk along Madison Avenue, which was practically deserted. Then he stopped to window browse outside a bookshop. He was just getting interested in some of the titles when he was joined by a couple.
What are you stopping here for, Dixon?
Maybe I like books.
Maybe you don't. Maybe you're just stalling for time, huh?
Oh, Steve! Oh, let go of my arm. You are hurting me.
Am I? Then let's get moving.
No!
Now, you don't really mean that, do you, baby?
Steve!
Excuse me, mister. I don't like to break into a love scene.
Well, then don't, pal.
Take your hand off her.
Okay, Sir Galahad. Now, I'll give it to you.
Steve, don't! Oh, you knocked him out.
Huh?
With one punch.
Yeah. Maybe I'm stronger than I thought.
What is your name, honey?
Peter Woods.
Oh, Peter, darling. How can I thank you?
Now, look, Dixon.
If it had not been for you, I would have been...
You're just in time, officer. This girl was being molested.
Yeah, by whom?
That man down...
What man down where, buddy?
Why, he's disappeared. He was just lying there, officer.
Let me smell your breath.
I'm not drunk. Ask this lady. She'll tell you what happened.
You bet I will. Officer, this man, Peter Woods, he tried to kill me.
You hear that? And if I hadn't stepped in, why... What? What did you say?
You tried to kill me. And all because...
Dear, dear lady, dear. Now, we've got a place for men like you.
Now, wait a minute. This girl's framing me.
Yeah. Well, tell it to the judge. He's a great one for fairy tales.
The accused, Peter Woods, having been charged by the complainant, Dixie Martell, with felonious assault... with intent to kill, is remanded for questioning by the grand jury of this county. Bail is hereby set at $1,000.
Hello, Hilda Ryan speaking. And if it's you, Peter Woods...
It's me, Peter Woods.
Don't you dare say another word.
I'm sorry, Hilda.
You had an appointment to meet me here in my apartment at 7 o'clock. You were going to take me out to dinner and to the theater for the first time in 6 months.
I know, dear.
It's 11 o'clock now. Well...
I got tied up, honey.
Why didn't you call me?
I'm in the district attorney's office.
Hmm?
I'd rather be with you, darling.
Oh, of course. Well, as long as you're working on a case.
Yes, honey, and it's all mine.
Well, I should hope so. You know what I think of lawyers who split fees.
You don't understand, dear. I'm the defendant, too.
You?
I'm being held for the grand jury.
Good heavens, what have you done?
Nothing.
Oh, no.
I mean it. I never saw that girl before in my life.
What girl?
Dixie Martell. I was walking along Madison Avenue, and she and a fellow by the name
What did she say you did to her?
Assault.
What?
With intent to kill. But she's out of her mind.
Why?
She told the judge in night court that I tried to pick her up. All right, dear. You're against me, too. I guess I'll be better off in jail.
Jail?
Well, that's where they're going to take me now. And if a jury believes that girl, I'll go to Sing Sing for 5 years. And I'll be disbarred.
Oh, Pete.
Feel sorry for me now?
Oh, I'm just a big dope.
Darling, if you could come down to the DA's office and bring $1,000...
Bring a what?
My bail money. Otherwise, I'll have to stay in jail until the grand jury gets around to me.
But where am I going to get $1,000 now?
How about your relatives?
I've been lending them money.
Oh. Well, can you get it here by morning?
That means I'll have to go to the bank.
Hilda, I love you.
Oh, my truth, so money.
You'll get it back. And we'll be married right after the jury says not guilty.
Yes. And it better say not guilty, or I'll see that you get life. Pete, if your girlfriend were home...
She's not my girlfriend, Hilda.
Well, all right, then. If Dixie Martell were in her apartment, she'd have opened that door long ago.
Don't think I haven't thought of it.
Then why do you keep buzzing?
Hope springs eternal.
Well, come on, we'll get some lunch and then come back. Maybe by that time...
I'm not giving up the watch, darling.
But we could be eating.
I'm going to be here when Dixie comes home, and she's going to tell me why she cooked up that...
Pete.
Take it easy, Hilda. It's not the mysterious traveler.
But... the door.
I leaned against it.
Then it wasn't locked.
Now, how did you figure that out, darling?
Well, you said... Listen to me, Peter Woods. The next time you get into trouble, get somebody else to put up bail for you.
All right. Find me another girl with trousseau money.
Pete.
Have you got one?
Are you going in there?
Of course.
But I...
We came here to see Dixie. Does that mean we've got to stand in the hall till she gets here?
I know, dear, but...
We can be sitting down. Look, comfortable chairs. And a sofa.
Pete... Isn't there a law in this state against unlawful entry?
In a lot of states, Hilda.
Then why take chances of being arrested again? Aren't you in enough trouble?
Hmm?
How many grand juries do you want to face?
You're right, sweetheart. Let's go back to the hall. Well, come on, will you? Before Dixie barges in. What's the matter with you?
Look. Behind the open door.
Don't tell me. Good grief.
Is that Dixie Martell?
It was, Hilda.
Oh, Pete.
Now it's just her mortal remains.
Well, Pete?
Yeah, she was strangled, Hilda.
Oh, took you a long time to find out.
I was looking for a bullet wound or a knife wound, you know.
I'd rather not.
Then I noticed the marks on her throat. I thought there'd be fingerprint impressions, but there weren't.
Oh.
Whoever killed her must have worn gloves or used a... What's the matter, Hilda? Don't you feel well?
I couldn't feel worse.
Come on, let's get over to the window.
That won't do any good.
Fresh air.
Let's get out of here, Pete.
I can't.
You're not hypnotized, are you?
I can't run away from it, Hilda.
What are you talking about?
Murder.
Hmm?
Dixie's murder. The police will say I did it.
Oh, now.
Don't kid yourself, honey. They'd say it. And I'll have the devil's own time proving I didn't.
But what about me? Don't you think I'll have something to say?
Yeah.
After all, it isn't as if you found Dixie dead and then told me about it.
Yeah.
I was with you, and I've been with you all morning.
That's the trouble, darling.
What?
You posted bail for me.
Now, what in the world does that mean?
You've got a special interest in me, and when we tell the police and the district attorney that we're engaged to be married...
Oh.
Understand?
They'll say I'm prejudiced in your favor, and therefore... Oh, but Pete, what are we going to do?
There's only one thing, Hilda.
Yes?
I'm a lawyer, an officer of the court, and I'm not supposed to do it.
Hmm?
I'm not supposed to conceal a crime.
Uh-huh.
As a matter of fact, no citizen should conceal a crime from the police. But in this case...
Thanks for coming out of the wherefore.
What?
Let's have the to-wit.
I don't follow you, Hilda.
Don't try. You just got lost in your legal training.
Well, as I was saying, in this case...
You're not going to tell the police about Dixie Martell.
That's right.
But, Pete, we can't just leave her here.
We'll have to, honey, until I find out who killed her.
Very, very interesting.
Oh, hello, Steve.
You're a lawyer, huh? Hmm. What law school did you go to?
Not the one you're going to, Steve.
Oh, I've been there, and I learned the value of a closed door.
Pete.
It's too late, Hilda. The horse is in. Let's take a look at that eye, Steve.
From where you're standing,
Don't be afraid. I won't hurt your gun.
Pete, is that the man you told me about?
Yeah, the guy who threatened Dixie and got clipped.
Nice shade of blue I'm wearing this evening, huh?
Why did you come here, Steve?
Why?
I mean, at this particular time.
I get impulses, baby.
Like the one that strangled Dixie?
Huh?
Don't try to laugh it off, Steve. She tried to get away from you last night.
You don't say.
Are you denying it? You killed her, Steve. And before you left the building, you saw Hilda and me coming in, so you hung around.
Just to nab you with the goods, huh?
Why did you kill her?
Listen, pal, would your name be Peter Wood?
Never mind changing the subject.
That's what I thought. Yeah, I knew I saw that face someplace.
Madison Avenue.
Magistrate's Court last night. Say, is it true what Dixie said about you?
Okay, Steve, play dumb.
And she was a friend of mine, Pete, and now look at her behind the door. Oh, well, we'll have to tell the police about this, Petey boy.
Get away from that phone.
Don't be ridiculous. It's a public utility.
I'm with you, Steve.
Ooh, you dumb cluck.
No, you dumb cluck. A lady screams and you turn around. Gentleman Steve.
I'll break you in half.
Swing him around this way, Pete. I'll hit him with this flower pot.
All right, Hilda.
It's not all right. Can't you two stop dancing for a minute?
I'll kill you, Woods. No, Hilda.
No! Here, that does it.
Thanks, you fatal charmer.
Pete. Oh, Pete, darling. I got the wrong man. Pete.
All right, Hilda. Now.
Pete, will you ever forgive me?
Now, Hilda.
It's all over, darling. I hit you by mistake.
Dumb cluck, a lady screams. What did you say?
I was all set to hit him, Pete, and then he swung you around and
Oh, my aching head.
Is there something you'd like me to do?
Yes, but not now. Where's Steve?
He left with his gun.
Didn't he phone the police?
No.
Uh-huh. So he was bluffing. Help me up.
Sit there for a minute. I've got something I'd like you to see.
Hilda.
This piece of paper.
What is it?
Read it.
All right, if I can see straight. A pair of tickets for a clock. So?
Well, when I hit you on the head with the flower pot, the pot broke and this ticket fell out.
Carl Andrews, jewelry sold, clocks repaired, 980 East 69th Street.
That should be on the next block, Pete.
Now, why should Dixie bury a repair ticket for an ordinary clock?
Maybe it isn't an ordinary clock.
Uh-huh. Help me up, sweetheart. I think I've seen everything.
Good afternoon. Can I help you?
Are you Mr. Carl Andrews?
I have been for 56 years. Now, what can I do for you?
Oh, we have a ticket for a clock that was left here by Dixie Martell.
Miss Dixie Martell? Oh, yes, yes. May I have the ticket, please? Thank you, sir. Now, let me see. Where did I put that clock? Oh, yes, yes, yes. I remember. Here it is. Shall I wrap it up?
Let's see it first.
Oh, of course.
Why, Pete, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Now, what would Dixie be doing with it?
You never can tell, Hilda. Maybe she used it to tell time.
But a thing like that...
It's a real antique, ma'am.
Well, that's what I mean, Mr. Andrews.
And very expensive. A collector's item, if you don't mind my saying so.
Oh, we don't mind.
Then perhaps you won't mind if I ask you a question. I am responsible for this clock, and, well, you are strangers to me. Of course, you brought in the ticket, but...
You want to know how we got it?
Yes. Please don't be offended.
We're not. A straight question calls for a straight answer.
Thank you so much.
We got it from Dixie.
Miss Martell to you.
Naturally.
She had to go away, a long vacation.
The poor girl. I told her she was working too hard. I guess being a nightclub dancer is a very difficult profession.
It keeps the girl on her toes, Mr. Andrews.
Of course, I do hate to lose a good customer, but what is best for her is to... Well, you understand.
Perfectly.
Will she be coming back someday?
I don't think so. Her plans were very definite.
Oh, that is too bad. Well, if you should see her employer, tell him I'm sorry he's lost such a good performer.
Do you know her employer, too?
Oh, indeed I do. And Mr. Jackson is one of my best customers. He owns the Pelican Club on West 49th Street, you know. And the clocks there...
are never on time.
I see you know, Mr. Jackson. Are you sure you wouldn't like me to wrap the clock for you?
Sure. Oh,
Well, then, if you'll excuse me, I'll go back to my work. People get so angry when their clocks are not ready on time. A good day.
Same to you. Now, there's a sweet old man.
Uh-huh.
Pete, the next time we have a clock that needs fixing or some jewelry that needs buying...
I'll keep it in mind. Hilda, didn't you notice something queer about that sweet old man?
Queer?
He didn't ask me to pay him.
Pay him for what?
The work he did on the clock.
Oh. Well, maybe Dixie did that before. You know, in advance.
Boy, how you women stick together. Come on, let's get a cab.
Pete, are you crazy?
You'll find out.
This isn't Utopia. Cab rides cost money.
Take a look at the back of this clock.
A metal plaque.
Read it.
From the collection of S. Parker Jackson. Well, all right, Mr. Andrews said...
Don't you get it, honey? S. Parker Jackson.
Excuse me, dear. This is my dumb afternoon.
S. Parker Jackson might be the fancy moniker for a guy named Steve.
Oh. Oh!
Don't explode, darling. I need you. Oh, this darn traffic. It'll take us a year to get there.
Oh, well.
Hilda, for Jiminy's sake, will you stop playing with that clock?
I'm only trying to wind it, Pete.
Only trying? You've been turning that gimmick for 10 minutes. You must have broken the spring.
Well, we'll find out.
See? Hey, take it easy. That thing's an antique. You shake the guts out of it.
I've shaken something out of it.
A drawer.
In the base of the clock. Pete, look what's in it.
Let me see.
Stuck with glue or something.
Hilda, I love you.
Hmm?
These are diamonds.
What? Those four pieces of glass?
Uncut diamonds. I'll bet this drawer wasn't in the clock when Steve Jackson bought it.
Pete, do you know what you're talking about?
I've got an idea. Those robberies in the Diamond Center for the past year.
Oh, no.
You've read about them, haven't you?
Yes.
All right, dear, you're getting off at the next corner.
Oh, now, Pete.
No arguments, honey. I've got plans.
And I've got $1,000 wrapped up in you. Hard-earned money.
Do this for me and I'll owe you my life.
Would you go to the Pelican Club without me?
Yes, dear. But you'll be there, too. In spirit.
And it is his truth.
Hello, Mr. Jackson.
Huh? Well, Pete. Well, if it is my old friend. Come in. How's your head?
S. Parker Jackson.
Yeah, I come from good stock. Bottle and bond.
Yeah.
How'd you get in here?
I walked. That's quite an office you've got.
I like comfort.
And those clocks on the wall, some collection. Mind if I look at them?
Who told you about this place?
A clock that Dixie had given to Mr. Carl Andrews for repair.
Andrews? Ooh, Andrews. He does all my repair work.
Yes, so he says.
Where is that clock?
How much is it worth to you?
Let's say your life.
Ooh. You talk big.
Where's that clock, Pete?
Now, look, Steve, I'm a lawyer. I get paid for asking questions.
You'll get paid off if you...
Yeah?
Okay, name your price.
What does that clock mean so much to you?
It's valuable. It's the only one of its kind in the world.
A portable diamond mine, hmm?
What'd you say?
I'm giving the answers now, Steve. All those clocks on the walls, those rare antique clocks, are loaded with diamonds that were stolen from the Diamond Center.
That crack you got on the skull went right through the brain, didn't it?
Right through with a ticket. Now let's have it, Mr. S. Parker Jackson. You killed Dixie Martell because she stole one of your clocks with diamonds in it.
Killed Dixie Martell?
Remember that body behind the door?
There's a hospital a few blocks from here. You better go there right away. Killed Dixie Martell?
Well, that's very funny, isn't it?
Well, it's a riot. A body behind the door. You've been seeing things, pal.
Now, wait a minute.
Dixie, a corpse. When she hears about this... Come on, I want you to tell her.
What?
Dixie Martell. She's upstairs rehearsing a new number.
You mean that she's here in this club?
Yeah, all here.
But, well then, who was the dead girl in her apartment?
Dead girl? What dead girl? Rehearsal room, Pete. Last stop.
So that's Dixie, huh?
Always was, pal. I'll introduce you to it. Cut it, baby.
Just a second. Hold it, girl. Hi, Steve. Like the new routine?
Yeah. Dixie, I want you to meet Peter Woods.
From Hollywood?
Nah, from Hunger. He's a lawyer.
Oh. Well, if he's a friend of yours.
Now, listen, miss, what's your name?
It's Dixie Martell, honey.
Yeah, since when?
Since... Say, what is this, Steve? A census taker?
A jerk, baby. Thinks you're a corpse.
What? A what?
You know, what people say nice things about.
You're misrepresenting her, Steve. She's not the girl we saw.
She's Dixie Martell, Pete.
But she's not the... And you know it.
Don't you tell me who I am.
All right, I won't, but I'll tell you what you are.
Yeah? Go ahead.
You're a...
Waiting, mister.
You're a...
Well?
What's the difference? You're not Dixie Martell.
Get him out of here, Steve. Get him out before I wrap him up for burial.
Funny scene. Quite a funny scene.
But John's the matter with you, huh? I've got work to do. New routine that's got to be ready by tonight.
Well, then work. Let's go, Pete.
Yeah. Well, goodbye, miss. What's your name?
Oh, go feed yourself to the squirrel.
Some number, huh?
Yeah, that's what I've been thinking. Let's go down to your office, Steve. Maybe I'll find a number for you, too.
And, you hear, Pete, some of the publicity we've sent out on Dixie. It'll break in tonight's papers.
With or without pictures?
With. Here's a couple of the pictures.
Oh. Steve, either you're a guy with plenty of gall, or you're just plain...
You're getting weaker, pal.
These are pictures of the girl upstairs.
Dixie Martell.
What's the gag? Who do you think you're going to kid with this stunt?
Oh, you're getting tough again.
Now, look, Steve, I'm not crazy, and neither is Hilda. There was a dead girl in that apartment. We all saw her. You were going to phone the police.
Was I?
That girl was Dixie Martell, and the girl upstairs...
Oh,
I have a feeling I don't know, but perhaps I could make a...
Oh, excuse me, pal. Yeah? Come on.
Oh, so you're still talking.
Oh, me? What is this?
Don't tell me you don't know. Or aren't the dead supposed to be heard?
What?
Yes. You recognize the voice now, don't you? Dixie Martell.
No.
How does it feel listening to a ghost?
I'll let you know.
You thought I was dead, didn't you? You were so sure. The guy who does such a perfect job on everything.
Wait a minute, sweetheart. So you're mad, okay, but...
You tried to kill me. And why? Just because I swiped one of your lousy clocks with diamonds in it. Was that a reason for murder?
Oh, that's a big question, honey. I can't answer it now.
That's all right with me, Steve. You're through.
Women trouble, Steve?
Sort of.
Well, when you have too many.
It was your girl, Pete.
Huh?
Hilda. You put her up to it, didn't you?
Now, chum, if I knew what you were talking about.
She makes a very bad ghost, chum.
Oh, that.
Yeah.
Don't reach for that gun, Steve. I've got one right here in my pocket.
Is that fact or fiction?
Don't try to find out.
Once a lawyer, always a lawyer.
What does that mean?
How much?
For you, 2,000 votes.
How about 50,000 bucks for you?
In cash?
In cash.
All right, Steve. Get on that phone and call the police.
No dice, huh?
The police, pal.
Okay. What do I tell them?
About diamonds and Dixie and death.
You're really nuts.
Squirrel food. And while you're dialing the operator, you can tell me all about that girl upstairs you had posing as Dixie Martell.
Oh, you mean Mona.
Mona. A not-so-delectable slice of ham.
Oh, you're wrong, pal. She's very delectable. Very delectable. Nice work, Mona. Your timing was perfect.
Oh, thanks for leaving the door open, Steve.
Hey, everybody wants to get in the act. But you, baby, you belong.
Well, what do we do with him?
Leave him there. Come on, help me get the clock down from the wall.
Clock? But, Steve, we...
Come on, honey, time marches on. We've got to keep in step.
Pete.
Oh. Now, Hilda. All right, Hilda, now.
I didn't do it, Pete. You can't blame me for everything that happened to you. Now,
Get up.
Yeah, get up. Flob. Hilda.
How do you do?
What happened to me?
That's what I'd like to know.
How did I get down? Oh, yeah. Somebody hit me on the head.
Who?
I don't know. Steve was standing over there. I had him covered with a gun I didn't have in my pocket.
A gun you didn't have?
I took a chance and he fell for it. Then he... I know.
Oh, now we'll get someplace.
It was Mona. It must have been Mona.
Who's Mona?
That girl in the rehearsal room who pretended to be... Hey, the clocks. What happened to the clocks?
Huh?
The clocks were in this room. The walls were covered with them.
Pete, you poor darling, you're delirious. Two hits on the head in one day.
They're gone, Steve. Mona, clocks, and diamonds. Beat it.
Are you toying to me?
No. The clocks that were full of diamonds and those two killers.
Oh, dear. You mean I was Dixie's ghost for nothing?
Hilda, don't you realize the evidence is gone? And sooner or later, somebody will find Dixie's body in her apartment. The police will start asking me a lot of questions. What'll I tell them?
Oh, excuse me?
Oh, hello.
I'm looking for Mr. S. Parker Jackson. I have... Oh, haven't I seen you two before someplace?
Of course you have. We were the two folks who, you remember, Dixie Martell's clock?
Oh, yes. You will pardon my bad memory, I hope. How are you?
Oh, so-so.
Oh, that's too bad. And you, young lady?
Oh, fine, Mr. Andrews. And you?
Oh, I can't complain. Are you waiting for Mr. Jackson?
Who isn't? Is that a clock you've got in that package?
Yes, Mr. Jackson wanted me to repair it. A great rush. I had to promise to have it here exactly at this time. And now, will he be here soon?
Maybe, if we can reach him.
He hasn't gone away, has he?
Well, after a fashion. But you can leave the clock.
Leave it?
With me. I'll see that it gets into the right hand.
Oh, I am sorry I cannot do that.
Why not?
Well, Mr. Jackson is very particular about his clock.
But you aren't.
What?
The one you repaired for Dixie was a very bad job.
Why, Pete, that's right. It didn't go.
Took you a long time to remember that, Hilda.
How about you?
Took me a long time, too. Now, Mr. Andrews...
I am afraid I don't quite understand what you young people are talking about.
Well, then let me put it this way. That clock you've got wrapped up has got a drawer in it.
I did not notice.
A drawer you put in it. That's the kind of repair work that you've been doing for Steve Jackson.
I... Young man.
Shall we check?
Leave this package alone.
We're checking, Mr. Andrews.
I said, leave it alone. Oh,
please.
Oh, I'm sorry I did not mean to hurt you.
Well, the old guy's got a grip like a pair of handcuffs.
Now, I'll come back later when Mr. Jackson...
Just a minute.
Now, don't stop me, young fellow.
You won't take me by surprise again. You never knew what was going into those clocks, did you?
I want you to get out of my way.
But when Dixie Martell brought a clock to you, not for repair, but for safekeeping, you looked in the drawer. You saw the diamonds.
I am warning you, young man.
You took them. That is, you thought you took all of them. Then you went to her apartment this morning and strangled her.
I am not going to warn you again.
It's no use, Mr. Andrews. I can wrestle, too. You strangled her.
No,
just to make sure you could keep the diamonds. That wasn't nice, Mr. Andrews.
No.
That was murder. Oh, a hot dog, a bottle of pop, and thou.
I just can't get over it, Pete. Mr. Andrews.
He did it. The police found the diamonds in the back of his store.
Greed, greed, greed.
Once is too much, Hilda.
What people won't do for money.
Well, if they wouldn't do it, it'd be all right, but the trouble is they do. You can't beat it, honey. Ask Mr. Andrews. And when you get through asking him, you can ask Steve and Mona.
You think they'll get 20 years?
Maybe 30. But if I were the judge...
Someday, darling.
Yes. Go on, let's get some peanuts.
Pete, what made you suspect Mr. Andrews?
I was alive.
What?
And I wouldn't have been if Steve were a killer.
Oh, you mean...
That's right. I knew too much about his business. But he didn't kill me. And so, when Andrews came in...
Make it simple, dear.
I took a chance, that's all, and it worked. Well, where can I get peanuts around here?
Are you going to eat them?
Why not? Squirrels do. Are we any better? We're not even as smart.
And so closes tonight's story, No Time for Murder. Stedman Coles wrote the radio script. Roger Bauer produced and directed. Myron McCormick played Peter Woods. Charlotte Lawrence was Hilda Ryan. Raymond Edward Johnson was Steve Jackson. Cameron Purdum played Carl Andrews. And Jean Ellen was Dixie Martell. Oh, I beg your pardon. Hello, I hope I haven't kept you waiting. Yes, this is the Crime Club. I'm the librarian. Yes, come over a week from tonight. Good. We have the very unusual story of a trip that was arranged by death. It's called Cowhide. In the meantime... Well, in the meantime, there is a new Crime Club book available this week and every week at bookstores everywhere. Yes, it's available now. Fine. And we'll look for you next week.
This program came from New York. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
That's it for this episode of Case Closed. Stop by the website. You'll find past episodes of this show, all the other podcasts, all types of old-time radio, links to our forum, Shoutcast stream, and everything else. There's also a donate button there if you'd like to help support this and all the shows. Thank you very much to those who have. It's how it keeps coming to you every week. Thank you very much for joining me today. Talk to you again next Wednesday with another episode of Case Closed. Case Closed is produced by and for RelicRadio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.